You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So I said this at the beginning of last hour, and it's true. Dana bought herself a pair of lottery tickets this morning because she may be the luckiest woman in the world. She was in the market yesterday, if you were listening to the show, for a 10-foot-tall, three-tiered fountain that she had put $225 down on the bid. It stayed at $225 for 3 days. Fortunately for Dana, last night at 6:45, as she was downing a bottle of wine, not a glass, fearing that she was about to be broke, somebody swooped in and paid $3,750.
Someone who likely owns a forklift and a crane, and the good folks over at Brown Button Estate Sales, of which I am currently in timeout, reached out. They were listening to the program, and owner Michael Fry joins us on Dana and Parks. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how's it going today?
Well, it's okay. I'm in self-exile just for a little while because I have a Brown Button Estate Sale problem. I love you guys. Love.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we've heard from a few husbands that their wives are no longer authorized to bid from us. So you're not the only one.
So you don't have to tell us, obviously, who ended up with the $3,900 bid, because that fountain's probably worth $20,000. But is it safe to say they own a crane and a forklift and some mechanism in which to move it?
Well, the sale they bought it from is in Mission Hills, and the buyer is also in Mission Hills, so I think they're okay.
That makes it way easier to move a 40,000-pound fountain.
It does.
How many years have you been doing this, Michael?
You know, our company's been around since 2011, so a little over 15 years. Done, I think, over 1,000 sales across Kansas City.
What is the weirdest item you have ever seen or sold?
We have a few. We were doing a house in South Kansas City, opened an antique steamer trunk, came across some spidery handwriting on crumbly piece of paper talking about this wedding cake from the 1800s from their great-great-grandma. And then below that was essentially what appeared to be a charcoal briquette. This slice of wedding cake that was 100-plus years old. That was kind of fun.
Somebody bought it?
No one bought it, and no one on the team offered to taste test.
Because when you, Michael, it's really intimate, because when you go into somebody's house, whether they've moved, whether they are deceased, you are going, like, you're getting in there and seeing everything.
You know, we are, and I'll tell you, that's something that we consider an honor. When someone invites us into their home and, frankly, their very personal life, and for us to hold their memories, their lifetime, their, you know, interactions with their kids and growing up and decades in this home, to hold that in our hands and then to find other people who will treasure their items like they did. I mean, for us, that's an honor. That's something that we don't take lightly.
Michael, explain this to me. This was a gigantic 10-foot-tall three-tiered fountain. Dana put down $225 like 3-4 days ago. And then right at the last minute, somebody swoops in and wants $3,900 for it. Why does that happen?
Yeah, it's pretty normal. I mean, I will say lots of bidders bid with us and they do wait till the end.
Yep.
You know, they wait to come in and see, you know, where the pricing will be and hoping to get a good deal, they'll wait till the last minute and jump in. And so it's not uncommon that our sale totals will double or triple in value in that last hour, just because that's when a lot of the serious bidders are jumping in and participating.
It's a game. I talked about this yesterday. It's a high. And there's something about finding the stuff. And I've bought several things for our home through Brown Button because we have an old home. I love antiques. Have you ever been there to witness a fight over any of the items at some of the actual physical estate sales you've done?
So we used to only do in-person estate sales, and there have been actual fights.
Yep.
There was one over a Rolex watch at a house in Bucyrus. We had another sale where two adult men were running through the house at the same time and actually knocked a curio cabinet over. My absolute favorite is we got a 1-star review on our Google page because someone cut it in line. before the sale opened.
I was trying to explain this to Scott, Michael. People will like have placeholders and stuff at the beginning of some of these sales, especially your Hallbrooks and your Mission Hills, where they will line up early. And sometimes you have to say no early arrivals.
Yeah. I mean, people will do funny things like move other people's marker and say, I was here first. People will show up hours. And in one instance in a house we did in Mission Hills, we had folks show up 2 days in advance.
What?
Yeah.
To line up to be the first people in.
Where would they stay? In their car?
Yes. Yeah. I don't quite get it.
Where do they go to the bathroom?
Don't ask.
You know, they leave their marker. That's a good question. I didn't ask them that question, and I don't think I will.
Michael, what is the one universal thing that you have learned handling people's stuff? And I've said this before, at the end of your life, there's only a handful of things that are worth anything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your memories and your photos, but it really is high-end gold, silver, guns, albums, stuff like that. I always say no one wants your grandma's armoire. What have you learned going through all of these people's things over all these years?
I mean, you can imagine handling 1,000 estates. It does make you think about your own life. And I mean, it's cliche, but you can't take it with you. And so I actually lost my own mother at a young age, and 57. Mm. And I kept too much. I kept a bunch of her stuff, and some of it ended a few years ago, and none of that matters or represents her except for one thing, and one thing I really treasure, and that's my mom's chocolate pie recipe.
Take your time.
With like little chocolate splatters on it, you know, and I have it framed and I have it in my kitchen. So don't let stuff take over your life or control you. Have things that you love, that are important, that bring you joy, then let the rest go.
You know, I've said over the years, Michael, I have a handful of things. My father died when I was in my 20s. I have his old dresser, which I use for storage down in the basement. I have his dog tags from Vietnam and his class ring from the University of Oklahoma. And that's it. That's all I have.
Yeah.
I have the memories. I don't need the physical stuff to remember him.
And here's the other thing is that we hear over and over, you know, we work with a lot of folks who are choosing to downsize.
Yeah.
And they're kind of mystified that their kids don't want their stuff. You know, they've saved these things, and they've saved great grandma's chipped china and silver plate or, you know, what have you. And their kids don't want it. And so just have the things because you love them and you treasure them, and don't worry about the next generation.
Do you have any clients over the years, Michael, who made a mistake and then wanted an item back?
You?
That is a good question. You know, I will tell you all the time, it goes the other way.
That
we get done with a sale. They've often moved to assisted living or, you know, a two light condo or something. And they say, I took too much. I was trying to hang on to all this stuff. It doesn't fit. My new place is crowded. I wish I had let more go during the estate sale all the time.
Do you know what Dana gave away one time and wants back?
I do not.
A George Brett signed Royals jersey.
He signed my jersey, Michael. And when I downsized, it just happened to be in my closet. I didn't catch it. And it ended up probably in a thrift store somewhere. What do you do with all the stuff, Michael?
That hurts.
What do you do with the stuff that doesn't sell? Like, there's always stuff left that, like, I mean, I know usually on Sundays you go, okay, everything's half price. What do you do with the stuff that's left?
Yeah, so there's always some things left over after a sale. And we're working with local charities, you know, various charities in town that work with refugee populations or unhoused populations, and all those goods go to serve them. And it's usually the kind of utility pieces anyways tend to not go as well in estate sale. And that's the thing that those populations need anyway. So it's really a win-win. We're able to serve the client, work toward getting their house empty so they can move, and then the items left over go to good causes.
Well, What is the, and lastly, we got to get moving, but what's the one thing that you had on sale at an estate sale that you thought, man, this thing is going to fly out the door, and it never did?
So we have literally sold millions of items at this point.
Yeah.
Hard to remember something like that. It's easier the other direction. I mean, we have encountered just some crazy things, some with very personal connection to Kansas City. And one of the more unique ones is a collection of essentially a sketchbook of Thomas Hart Benton.
Oh.
It was given to his friend, Vincent Campanella. The family didn't know about it. It was stuck in the back corner of a basement for years and years. And these aren't finished works. These are, you know, just doodles and drawings and rough studies for important works that are now in museums across the country. And so for us, getting to handle that collection was, you know, personal, just the Kansas City connection, the fun and excitement of something so unusual and rare. I mean, that for us, that was just a joy and a treat.
Well, thank you for the stories, Michael. We just love, love, love Brown Button. And I'll be back online. Just give me a couple days.
A year.
I am out of the market for a fountain, but there are many, many other treasures that I will be perusing over my lifetime here in town. We love what you guys do for the community.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having me on. Happy bidding. And I'll mention a longtime listener, first time caller.
Wonderful, Michael. Thank you. Thank you.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.